is the time we come together in rage and grief and with love. These hateful attacks and these killings will not do to us what they intended. We will not be silenced, we will not disappear, and we will not be isolated. We will take this time to resist violence in all its forms.
Words of solidarity from one of the speakers at yesterday's rally at Nathan Phillips Square to raise awareness about anti-Asian racism. Since the start of the pandemic, we've heard many stories of people of Asian descent being verbally and even physically attacked. It hits close to home for people like Harry Oh and the clients that he serves, but he's also finding hope in the way that people are opening up about their mental health and the racism they experience. He's a social worker and a therapist. Harry, good morning.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Harry, why is it so difficult for people in Asian communities to really open up about their past experiences with racism?
That's a great question, and I think it really has to do with the idea of model minority myth, which is the racist expectation that Asians are to successfully assimilate into Canadian society and to achieve. So talking about racism is the opposite of assimilating, it's the opposite of achieving. So it actually serves to silence us and make us feel ashamed when we can't fulfill that expectation of assimilation, of achievement.
So how do we change that?
I do believe that a huge part of modern minority myth is about racism itself. A danger of that for all of Asians is that it's actually used to create division between the Asian community and other racialized and indigenous communities. So I believe that it's really important for Asian communities to fight against this and to support other racialized and indigenous communities and continue our work in the community to fight against racism.
So it's a big hurdle. You're looking at cultural, but also language barriers that are making it a challenge for those to talk about these issues.
Mm-hmm. And when I think about culture and language barriers, I also think about a much bigger problem, which is what I believe is the racism. So what I mean by that is that the term Asian actually lumps us all into one group, and it kind of reduces us to a stereotype because our community is a very diverse community.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, the model minority myth is actually applied to all of us. So that level of racism really damages our mental health and prevents us from talking about racism, and it really isolates us, and it becomes really difficult to deal with mental health when you feel disconnected from the rest of your community and the rest of society.
When people are afraid to talk or feel they don't have the agency to talk, you bury memories and experiences. How can that affect mental health?
That's a really good question. And I do think that the burying of the memories is actually related to the modern minority myth, that we have this, we're not allowed to talk about certain things. So I don't think it's so much that we are, as a community, we are burying these things, as that we're not allowed to talk about it. And also just recognizing that we also have a long history of activist work and a long history of racism that we've experienced for a long time. So I feel that this conversation isn't new to the community, and I'm really glad that our voices are being heard right now.
How do you think your voices are being heard?
I think for a long time, our voices and our history of activism has not been heard and has not been talked about. And I think it's kind of unfortunate that it took this level and this amount of violence with what happened in the shootings in Atlanta and the past year, reports of over a thousand racist incidents on Asians. It took this amount of violence before our voices are being heard finally. And I'm really glad that you're having me on and that we get to talk about this.
How have the conversations changed?
I think we've been having this conversation for a long time amongst the community. We do have a long history of activism within the Chinese and the Asian community overall. It's that right now the conversation needs to be about allyship. So a lot of discussion around allyship and Asians supporting Black Lives Matters, Asians needing to recognize indigenous sovereignty while living on these territories to support indigenous rights movements. It is all part of the larger system of white supremacy, and we need to work together to fight against that.
We've all seen the headlines and the images that have gone viral on social media of Asian people, and many of them senior citizens, beaten, spit on, yelled at. It's difficult to watch. How can people use these kinds of incidents and stories to start a conversation about their own struggles?
So the model minority myth really silences that, and it's very detrimental to our connection. So what I really do encourage everybody in the Asian community to do is to reach out to people around you, reach out to me, to advocacy organizations like the Chinese Canadian National Council, like the Asian Canadian Labor Alliance, like Butterfly, Migrant Sex Worker Support Network. Reach out, get involved in the community, and also reach out for service community and service organizations like Hong Kong Mental Health Association.
We played a clip off the top. Dozens of people showed up in downtown Toronto yesterday to a rally against anti-Asian racism. How do you hope these kinds of movements, this public outpouring, can encourage those from Asian communities to speak up for themselves and for others?
Well, I do think it's more than dozens of people. It was thousands of people that showed up at the rally. We need to continue this work. We've already have a long legacy of doing this work, and a lot of advocacy organizations in our community has existed for many, many years. It's just that our voices are not heard. What we really do need to do is to listen to the most vulnerable individuals in our communities. So what I'm talking about are queer and trans Asians who experience homophobia and transphobia on top of this. I'm talking about sex workers and workers in massage parlors who experience homophobia and are victimized by the police. We need to listen to their voices and make sure that all the voices in our communities are heard, especially the ones who are most vulnerable.
And for those who don't belong to a group that's experienced anti-Asian racism, what's the best way to check in? What's the best way to offer support?
I think checking in and talking about things and starting conversations are always important. What I do believe is that people who want to check in with us need to understand that we are also managing these situations ourselves at the moment. And what I really do encourage the Asian community when people are checking in with you is to check in with yourself to see whether you're ready to have this conversation with others. Mm-hmm. And take the time that you need before you engage in the conversations. And for the people and our communities, outside of Asian community, who wants to check in with them, I would urge you to be patient with us, and I would urge you to allow us to take our time to process things before you talk with us. And also take the time to learn about Asian Canadian history, to learn about the activism that we've had in our community. That way the conversation can be a lot more productive.
Harry, I really do appreciate your perspective this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Harry Au is a social worker and a therapist in Toronto.